Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Patrick, we were talking about liberty.menu, but then we got into, and we get back into it, but then we got into a discussion about where we all came from. You came from Arkansas.
Right.
Roger, I came from down in Florida. Patrick, you guys moved out originally from California. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've lived in
Los
Southern
Angeles?
California.
Where were we
I was living, grew up in San Diego and was living the last 12 years in Orange County, just an hour north.
So we were talking about some of the stark contrasts that that we noticed between,
right.
you know,
after
New
Hampshire,
living,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I was talking about the police state down in Florida where, you know, I saw cops everywhere. But up here, if I drive from Keene to Concord, which is an hour-long drive between two of the major cities in New Hampshire, and when I say major, I mean, you know, tens of thousands of people. There's not a whole lot of people up here.
Right.
You don't see very many police very often on that drive.
Well, we drove 2 hours up from Milton to here 2 days ago and didn't see not one single cop. And that was during bike week even. So not even a single cop, which was fantastic.
And bike week is, for those that don't know, a very big festival that
right.
goes on in your area in the seacoast,
right.
Weir's Beach. Or is it? That's Laconia. That's the Lakes region,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, anyway.
It's just north of where I am living.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like bikers everywhere, cops everywhere. But yet you didn't see a single cruiser.
As lots of bikes, but no cops.
Yeah.
So have you guys ever seen those roadside signs that say, buckle up?
Yeah.
So I noticed that they're phrased differently across the country.
Uh-huh.
And so in California, it's always click it or ticket.
Yeah. Usually
immediately
it's the
threat.
Law. Buckle
yeah.
up, it's
so
the law.
California's click it or ticket. And then other areas, it's the law.
Yep.
And then I saw it's our law, which I thought was a little bit nicer.
Yeah, a little
and
bit.
Then there was, I've seen ones that were buckle up, we care. And I was just like, okay, that I can relate to a lot more. But that's something I felt in New Hampshire because I often, you know, drive around a little bit if I'm doing a short drive without buckling up. And that I don't have a threat against
me. You're not going
to
get extorted.
Exactly. There's no threat currently against me for doing this action I'm freely doing.
Right.
That feels great. And
I don't think you're very smart for making that decision.
Right. No, I'm doing a short drives, but yeah.
But it's like people who ride around.
In safe situations.
It's like people who ride around without helmets on their motorcycles. I don't think you're smart for doing that, but it's great that you've got the freedom to do it.
My
right.
rule of
There's
thumb
no
is if I'm riding around Keene where the speed limit's 30 and nobody's usually doing more than 30,
sure.
I'll ride with my seatbelt off. But if I get on the state roads and I'm hitting 55, 60 or whatever, I'll usually buckle up in that case.
Yep.
And I get the choice to make, you know, to make that here.
So you kind of do. If I'm in a car that doesn't shut up, and it just beep
right.
about
oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I always put it on. I have a courtesy for my
that.
Ears. That just,
you,
yeah.
can you can disable those
yeah.
things.
Oh, can you?
Yeah,
right.
yeah,
I got to do that.
Hire somebody who knows cars, and they snip a wire, and yeah. that's
and
that.
It turns it off.
I had a house that I was selling. I wanted to move here. I didn't want to wait to sell the house.
Right.
I wanted to get up here and sell it remotely. And things went really crazy with that situation.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was managing the house for me. He got murdered in the time frame that I was not living down there.
Jeez.
The guy who was living in the house, who was his tenant, ended up, turned out that he was a sicko and was like molesting his granddaughter.
Oh,
so he ended up getting arrested. And like all this time, I'm trying to sell this damn
right.
house. Like, and of course, you know, my first offer comes in and you know, before all the S hit the fan,
yeah.
I turned it down, which
right.
was a huge mistake.
Right.
The housing market was crashing. I should have just taken it. So then I had, you know, had to wait on the second offer from somebody else and it was $20,000 less. So I took a $20,000 hit just because I said, oh, I'll wait. I'll see if I can get a better offer. And no,
it was a risk, and
it didn't
work
offer.
Out for you.
Kendall Strahan
yes,
is with us all the way from Texas, although you live in New Hampshire now.
Yes, I do.
And you are the rare, you don't usually see a black guy with a Texas hat on, but I guess you see him more often in Texas, right? Like a kind of a cowboy hat. I don't know if that's what you call it.
Oh, no,
it?
It's a cowboy hat.
Is that a cowboy hat? Okay.
He is from Texas.
He really is. He really is. You know, you're born and raised out there?
Yes, I am.
And you told me yesterday you're from Houston.
Houston, Texas.
Now, what made you come up to New Hampshire?
Huh, it's an interesting story behind that.
I want to hear it, the whole thing.
This is a long story. No, I'll give you the short version. In all honesty, I didn't want to come to New Hampshire. In all honesty, just being real with everybody. But
why?
My wife, she actually wanted to come to New Hampshire. She's been talking about it ever since we met in middle school.
So that's the reverse, by the way. Normally,
right.
you know, the Liberty Movement's kind of a sausage party to some extent. And there
right.
are a lot of guys out there who their excuse for not coming is, well, my wife doesn't want to move. So
right.
you're was the reverse situation.
It was the reverse.
You were the one who did.
Yeah, I did not want to leave Texas.
Luckily, wives can be very persuasive.
Mine was very. She had a lot to do with our move. It would
yeah.
not have happened as soon as it had
right.
without my wife pushing me. So it worked out great for us.
So she wanted to go from when she was in middle school, and you knew her back then.
Yes, we've been together since middle school, so it's a total of 20 years. Matter of fact, we just had a 19-year anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
So appreciate that.
Free State Wyoming, that one's been dead for years. That was the biggest competitor to the Free State Project was Free State Wyoming, because Wyoming got second place in the vote. So when the Free State Project chose from the 10 candidate states, New Hampshire won overwhelmingly. Wyoming was second place in that. And a bunch of the people out west were like, well, we don't want to go east of the, you know, Mississippi, so we're just going to stay out here. We're going to go to Wyoming. Well, some of them actually did. They actually did get some people that moved out there. But Wyoming's such a big place.
It's huge, yeah.
They moved all across the state, and it was the kind of people who just wanted to kind of move somewhere, shoot their guns out in the backyard, and be left alone.
Yeah.
And they got that. You know, that's what they have. They held a Jamboree Festival, kind of like their competitor to Porcupine Freedom Festival. They held that for a few years, and then that just disappeared. They haven't updated their website in a decade at this point, so they're long gone. And there's nothing else out there. You'll see them pop up all the time, and it's like usually it's just somebody who's too unmotivated to pick up their own lives and move to New Hampshire.
So they want everybody to come to them?
Yeah, come on over here to Arizona. We got Free State West now. This is the newest one, which is a reuse of Free State West from back when somebody wanted it to be more than Wyoming. So it was Free State Wyoming. Then somebody made Free State West, which was like Wyoming and Idaho and Utah and Montana.
And that kind of defeats the whole purpose, though, because you're making them so far apart that you're not going to affect
you can't do
change.
Anything.
My wife and I purchased a commercial building in Berlin, New Hampshire. Actually right off of Main Street. We got the building rather cheap.
Everything's cheap in Berlin. It's the Detroit of New Hampshire.
Right. And you know what? And it's funny you say that. It really is.
Without all the crime, although.
Right. I mean, if you look at what happened in Detroit, the same thing kind of happened in Berlin with the mills.
The logging industry died up there for some reason, and it turned into a dying town.
Right.
Houses started to go on the market and drove prices through the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you could drop 10 grand and get a house in Berlin. Probably won't be the best house.
But you can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah.
And that's great for people who are moving up here with limited resources.
Right.
That's
now, you had said yesterday off the air you wouldn't recommend somebody coming up there who needs a job, though.
Right. And that's just my personal opinion from what I've seen just being in Berlin for roughly a year. There are jobs in Berlin, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, the main job
Walmart.
Is the prison in Walmart.
Yeah,
right. Correct. So if you come up there to look for something other than that, then no. But if you have an entrepreneurial mind and you kind of have what I like to call a go-get-it attitude,
yep.
then, yeah, you'll do good in Berlin.
Or if you can work from home, like a telecommute kind of thing. You were saying, Kendall, that you were thinking about moving to Keene. I had thought about moving to Berlin originally just because the houses were so damn cheap. And I'm one of those kind of guys. I can work from anywhere. We do a radio show, so as long as I've got an internet connection, I can do this.
Right.
And it's just the houses are so cheap there, I thought. Oh, it'd be a great place to buy a house, but it's probably a little bit colder there, and there's not much going on. And so we ended up going to Keene, and it was what inspired us to go to, or me to go to Keene, was some of the earliest movers there. I moved back in 2006.
Oh, wow.
So the people who'd moved there before me were doing some really cool civil disobedience, and I thought, man, I gotta get up there with those folks.
So you weren't the genesis of all of that civil disobedience?
No.
That's what everybody thinks and everybody says these days. So.
No. See, people don't know their history.
Right, of course.
And, you know, the newbies coming in, they don't know who Russell Canning and Lauren Canario were. And so these guys were getting arrested doing civil disobedience. They had the federal police arrest them inside the post office once.
Wow.
And just, you know, really interesting times. And I thought, God, I got to get up there. I've got this radio show. I've got a video camera. I could help publicize what these people are doing. It was my goal. I mean, I didn't intend to go up and do civil disobedience, but
it kind of worked out that
way. But it's catchy,
right?
When you're around people like Russell, who is a real inspiration to me. He always had a smile on his face. It didn't matter if he was getting put in handcuffs and stuffed in the back of a police cruiser. He was always just cracking jokes with the cops that were arresting him and just had a real good attitude about it.
Right.
So how did she come across was it her who came across the Free State Project?
Yeah, she came across the Free State Project. I think what really drew her to the North Country was we were talking earlier about the weather. You see the mm-hmm. four seasons here. That was her first pull. And then I think once she started doing more research, then she kind of ran into the Free State Project. And I think how she actually found the whole porcupine was is really funny. She looked at great places to raise a black kid at. And for whatever reason, New Hampshire showed up.
Huh.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
I mean, it's at the top of so many lists these days. It's incredible how many lists at the top of. Of course, my wife and I did a lot of that research before we moved.
Right.
And of course, we found this was the best place to raise a family.
To raise a family. I'd heard it was the best place to raise a family. I didn't hear specifically that black kids were, you know, the best.
And I was like, really?
That's so fascinating.
That's great.
Well, it is a great state. There's no question about that.
Well, you know, freedom works. It does. And it has worked well for New Hampshire over the years. And it's, the system of government that we have here with the 400 state representatives, it's so easy for the average person to get elected here, and it's $100 a year paycheck, so it doesn't attract any of the professional politicians or lawyers that those positions normally attract in all the other states where they get paid real well and they got office staff. Here, if you're a state representative, you get a locker.
You take Bitcoin, right?
Well, we were talking about that. You're not into Bitcoin yet, or what's your status?
I don't completely understand it fully, but
you're going to understand it better by the time you leave this table.
Right. Yeah. I know my wife, she knows more about it than I do. And we do have future plans to even put Bitcoin inside our building once, we get everything up and operational. So,
cool. Yeah. It's for listeners that don't know, Bitcoin is a decentralized currency. It was not created by any banks or any governments in the world, and it can't be stopped. The government cannot shut it down.
I mean, they'd have to shut down the entire internet.
Yep, which
and
is
even
pretty
then,
unlikely.
You could still have hard wallets that you could do business with if you had to.
Yep, and Bitcoin.com is the best place to go to learn more about Bitcoin. Maybe you are brand new to it and you want to learn the basics. They've got that over at Bitcoin.com. They'll recommend different wallet software to you. You do have to have a wallet in which you then sort of keep your Bitcoin. Sort of. It doesn't actually stay in your wallet. Right. The wallet's just your private key that allows you access to that Bitcoin on the cloud. So even if you lose your phone, as long as you've gotten, as long as you've backed up your wallet, you're good. So you can drop the phone in a lake or, whatever, and you can, sort of reinitialize the wallet later on. I saw Ed walking by from Little Zoe's Pizza. He's Ed Forrester. And Ed, welcome to Free Talk Live.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here. We met at Little Zoe's because you are in Keene, New Hampshire, where I happen to
live.
And I'd caught wind that this really awesome pizza place was at Porkfest last year, and that they'd started taking Bitcoin during Porkfest.
Yep.
Tell me the story there. What happened last year to you guys? Because you'd never been to Porkfest before last year.
No, we'd never been to Porkfest before, and obviously we had never used Bitcoin before as well. Our initial impetus for coming here wasn't really about the Free State Project or anything specifically other than an opportunity to sell pizza.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the more I learned about what you guys were, and I said, well, wait a second. I know these people.
You like freedom,
you know?
Too.
I mean, I'm going to get along with everybody there.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
fantastic. And it was just, I came here and I was just so happily surprised by the experience. It was just such a great group of people.
I mean,
everyone is so polite. Everyone is so nice. This is unlike any other festival I've ever been to.
It is a cool truck. You were telling me that the ovens actually go out of the back of the unit, so that way the heat doesn't at all go into the
Absolutely,
truck.
Absolutely.
That's
brilliant. I was lucky enough to find these ovens, and it turns out that the guy who designed them is out of Pepperell, Mass. He happens to be an engineer and a pizza lover, and this is his third generation. He tried to retail them, out to the general public. That was in 2010, and that didn't really work out so well for him, and I bought the majority of his ovens from him. He gave me a pretty good deal. Now, going back to what I do, we're primarily a take-and-bake restaurant.
Right.
Meaning that we don't have ovens in our shop at all. And our focus is just premium product. The idea being that you come in, you design, and we'll assist in building your perfect pizza, and then you take it home and you bake it perfectly.
And that also helps people avoid the prepared food tax here in New Hampshire.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
it's a grocery item, brother. It's
right.
a grocery
That's
item.
Great. That's great.
You know? Yeah, nothing is close to being done. You cannot eat my food, out the store. You've got to go home and cook it.
Yeah, it's absolutely not prepared.
And y'all been around for like half a decade now.
Well, yeah, 6 years. 6 years now we've been in this location.
Which means it's working. Because
yes.
in the restaurant business, most of them, 80%, 80% of them, as I understand it, don't make it past the first year, and the other 80% don't make it past, you know, year number two or five.
Well, don't get me wrong. We've been struggling in the beginning, you know, just like any new business. We worked our tails off, and now we're finally being able to catch our breath, basically, and expand a little bit with the mobile food trailer that we have to do festivals, to do weddings, to do private functions, private parties is a nice addition, and we want to expand in that direction.
Yeah, I love being able to go to the food truck and actually get a hot Little Zoe's Pizza.
And they come out piping hot. And so I had the hot Italian sausage yesterday. Yeah. And that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fabulous stuff.
And it's just big enough. I was able to eat the whole thing. I was worried I wasn't going to be able to eat the whole thing.
But as we like to say, it's enough to share unless you're hungry.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the digest instead. If you enjoy the digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
What I really want to see happen is a point of sale system that works for one of the other currencies.
Mm.
Because if Bitcoin continues to be broken, it's going to be a problem. So, like, right now the average fee is about $2.
Right.
And that's crazy.
It is.
It didn't used to be that way.
Right.
A year ago, when you were here, it was probably no more than like 5 cents or something
like
that. So the fees have shot up like insane, and it can't keep going like that, or no one's going to want to buy stuff with Bitcoin.
Absolutely.
So we're working on options, and Steven Zeiler has something really cool that he's working on right now for Dash, and I can't say anything.
Well, I've had to set up a Dash wallet for my kids for their business, because when you're buying a $2 hot dog, a $2 fee on top of that, it's not practical.
It's not going to happen. So I'll be in touch with that. And,
outstanding.
Ed Forrester from Little Zoe's Pizza, thanks for coming on Free Talk.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
If you're ever in Keene, New Hampshire, go see him. Matt Phillips is our next guest here from the Free State Project. You are the current president of said Free State Project. And how many years have you lived up here now?
Lived in New Hampshire. Yeah. I moved about 4 years ago.
Okay.
In fact, I just had Facebook remind me that 4 years ago I was here at Porkfest.
Wow. Yeah.
So I had come to Liberty Forum, came to Porkfest. A few months later, I was living here.
Anybody who's been up here for long enough knows that, you know, we are surrounded in New Hampshire by these New Hampshire natives who really are freedom-loving people.
Right.
They really have it in their blood. Almost
a lot of them, and of course, then you have the Granite State Progress, which
they aren't from around here.
Well, they're not. You're right. The leads are not, but still, you do have some people that are. Well, you guys deal with it in Keene, of course. You do have some natives that are, not as happy about it. But for the most part, the average New Hampshireite that I talk to absolutely embraces freedom and liberty and what we try to do here. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we pick New Hampshire for a reason.
Right.
It's not that we're coming in and invading with some foreign idea of how things should be run. We're just reinforcements for the basic foundational libertarian culture that has existed in this state, for hundreds of years, literally now.
Well, my favorite bumper sticker that I see at these events is the Keep New Hampshire Awesome bumper sticker, which is absolutely what we're trying to do here. Now, if we can just get the property taxes lowered for people who homeschool like I do, I would be very
The thing about property taxes, though, is you can optimize for that, too. If you're thinking about moving to New Hampshire, A, you can pick a town where they've managing tightly their finances and they've got low relative property tax.
And there are several towns like that.
And so there are many towns like that. You can also buy a smaller property. Right. If property tax is like the big hit that you're going to take.
Or you can buy in Berlin where they cost next to nothing.
Well, but their taxes are fairly high. So,
but still.
Right. Sure. When you're paying high taxes on something.
Or out on the seacoast, there's a couple of towns. Newington, which is a pretty industrial town. Or Newcastle, which is, you're going to pay a lot of money for a property there. But their tax rate's
low. Now, where did you choose to live?
I actually landed in Bedford, which is a suburb of Manchester.
It's like the soccer mom community.
It's very much soccer mom, Bedford Lee Hills.
That fits you for some reason.
I'm not sure I'm going to end up stay there permanently.
You're renting or buy a house?
I bought a condo, so I'm in a townhouse there just because I got so busy so quickly with the activism that I haven't had time to look for a nice piece of land a little bit farther out and build a nice little solar off-grid house.
It is my contention that Facebook has been one of the worst things that has ever happened to the movement. It gives you the illusion that you're connecting with people, right? It's social media.
Right.
And there are a lot of people on Facebook. So, I mean, it is a true statement that there are a lot of people there, that that's where everyone is. And, well, there are exceptions. There are people who will refuse to use Facebook. There are a lot of folks there. And so you feel like, oh, yeah, I can reach all these people. But you can't. You can put everybody into the same group, but they won't see all the posts.
Right.
They won't see the most important stuff. You can send an invite to a bunch of people. They won't, half the time they won't see it. It's just they want you to pay. They right. want you to pay to promote the things that are important to you when, you know, you shouldn't have to. If you've got a community and a tool that is supposed to allow you to reach that community, that tool shouldn't be debased, which is what they've done with Facebook over the years. It was better in the past.
It was, absolutely. If you did something on your company page, for example, it would actually reach, you know, much more people than it is now. They absolutely right. forced you to do that payment.
I recently was speaking to one of Facebook's largest advertisers, and they basically said that the guidance they've been giving is to expect essentially zero organic reach.
And the organic reach is when you post something, and people who like your page
It would show up in their feed just because they were interested in it. But if
without paying,
yeah. without you sponsoring your post to get it, you know, bump it up higher yeah. and get it into more people's feeds. The number two and three social media platforms are Twitter and Instagram right now, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Well, Instagram, guess what, is now owned by Facebook, right? So great integration, but you know, if Facebook decides to shut you down because you know Mark Zuckerberg's not down with your politics, then you're screwed. Yep. And then Twitter's really languishing right now. It's like people are getting tired of that. Yeah, they can't get any money.
They're going to go out of business at some point.
They have to.
Yeah.
Well, and Twitter's worse than Facebook as far as the
quality of dialogue.
It is a horrendous place to actually communicate. Well, when you're having to do it in 140 characters. That's a terrible decision anyway. I find it
to be hard to use.
It is. Sometimes
somebody will tag me on Twitter, and so I can easily see what they're tagging me in, but half the time they're responding to somebody else's tweet, and I'm like, how do I see the whole thread? I'm not a dummy when it comes to technology. If you dig around enough, you can find it, but it's not like you can just easily see.
It's not very intuitive, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's terrible. The showers were a cool addition. That seemed like a really smart thing to do. You guys have a portable shower truck that came in a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And those were free to campers, right?
Yes.
Expanding the shower options, because there are camp showers on the campsite here, but as you might expect, they're nasty.
Yeah.
Camp showers.
They're a little rustic, and sometimes the water, we go through a lot of water when you get a lot of people here. So. Yeah.
Sometimes the water breaks or whatever, and they have to fix it, and then you can't use the showers for a while.
Yeah, there's been some sewage issues in the past, from what I understand, which is a little creepy.
It's
a little
challenging,
nasty.
But now we got the shower truck, and we got the porta-johns, and...
A little more comfortable.
Makes facilities
a little easier.
Sure.
Yeah. Off the air, we got into the classic button-pushing conversation, and the classic question of, if you could push a button right now that would end the state... Like
overnight,
delete it, right? Like eliminate the buildings, would the bureaucrats disappear too? Like,
they would have other jobs.
Qualifications
we couldn't kill the bureaucrats, so they would have to have other jobs.
Would they instantly have a job
they?
Okay, so they would
lose part of the problem, right? Yeah.
Because you'd lose that infrastructure.
Yeah, what do you do with all those people? And what do you do with the functions that we currently are forced to rely on
Social security,
welfare,
police, fire,
roads, all of that stuff, right? We want all that to be private, but it's not going to be private overnight. Like, you have a road out here, and it's currently a publicly owned road. You want to privatize it. Well, how do you do that? What's the actual protocol process for how to go about privatizing it in a way that is sort of fair and equitable so that the people who are served by that road don't get screwed by somebody else having, you know, the classic example, right, is if you have a property, you privately own it, but you're surrounded by other private owners who...
They don't want to let you out.
They don't want to let you out. So what do you do? So how do you privatize all of these assets? How do you come up with the alternative social institutions that are needed in order for our society to sort of, you know, have basic functioning? How do I know whether I can trust you as a stranger to enter into some sort of economic transaction?
What are you most looking forward to this year at Porkfest, Matt?
That's the same thing. I mean, I think we were talking a little bit earlier about this event and, how do we convince people that they actually want to move to New Hampshire? And coming to the events is a really big part of that journey of people discovering what it is we're doing here. And coming to the events and seeing what we're doing here, meeting a lot of the other activists, hearing about it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So many people come to these events and they're like, oh, I had no idea. Yeah. I got to move here. Right. Well, I mean, that happened to me.
It's amazing how many people I met last year who moved, you know, within just a few months after that. We had several of them move to the Free Coast because my wife and I are almost evangelists for the Free Coast area because we love the Seacoast. It is just a beautiful area. There's so much going on with entrepreneurship and families and all of that. And of course, I'm a family guy. So, you know, that's part of what we do in our area in the Free Coast. So we had several people move to the Free Coast area, but there's something for everybody in this state. And that's what's the best part about New Hampshire. So whatever your activism is, you can find it here.
Right. Maybe you don't even know what your activism is, because I've seen that with a lot of folks that, move up here. You know, when I moved here, I thought, oh, I'm going to move with a bunch of activists who are like me. Well, it turns out a lot of the people who joined the Free State Project, they love the idea of activism, but they've never actually done it before.
Because there's no opportunity to where they're from.
Yeah, right. What do you do? Well, you got five libertarians who come to a meeting once a month and complain about, you know, the government and go home. What we really need to do is create a place that the control freaks don't feel comfortable, a place where liberty is winning so consistently over time, where laws are getting repealed, government programs are getting shut down, where these statists just feel like they can't win. Like, that is the feeling that they need to have.
So it's they have to demigrate out of the state.
Right.
I'd be okay with that.
It's been happening.
The Free Lunch Project.
That's kind of a joke. Somebody created
it. It actually exists.
Yeah, they created a website to encourage people to leave New Hampshire. And I don't know if they're willing to pay them for their ticket or whatever.
I think it was California, I think, that they were promoting. I don't know if they actually picked a state.
Maybe New York.
The perfect state for statists, absolutely.
But that's the thing. Like, look, hey, you don't have to move that far. New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, they're right over there.
Jersey. Yeah.
You know, head on down to Florida. There's plenty of sun and warmth down there. So, I mean, if you think about it, if you're a statist and you start losing consistently, it's going to be pretty demoralizing.
Of course. Of course it's going to be. Well, and just like it was demoralizing.
Welcome to our lives.
Right. That was my life before moving up here. And, of course, we've had so many more successes here. And Arkansas was just dismal trying to get anything done.
And it's depressing, and that leads to burnout. That leads to the activists saying, screw this. I'm not going to do any of this. Why bother? Jack Shimmick, a longtime guest on Free Talk Live from these events. We almost always have Jack on to because you've been going to these things forever. I mean,
2003. Porkfest number 0.
Wow, you've been going that long.
Wasn't it called something else?
It was called Escape to New Hampshire.
And how many people were at Porkfest 0?
I don't know, but there was spaces between the campsites. You had to walk through a few empty campsites before you got to anybody else's, so it wasn't anywhere near. And there was a whole bunch of other campers here, and they probably wondered what the heck we were up to. So,
when did you show up this weekend?
Saturday, I believe.
Okay,
Saturday.
So pretty early on in Shire Fest and Somalia Fest. How would you compare Shire Fest, Somalia Fest to the early Pork Fests?
There's more here than there were at the first Pork Fest, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to remember the bingo hall over here.
Yeah.
That the whole of Pork Fest, all the speakers were in there.
Mm-hmm.
The meals were in there. The exhibitors were in there, all within the one
The
building.
Little bitty building. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's before my time. I didn't come to Pork Fest until I made the move.
What was the fourth one? Was that your first?
Would have been 2007, so I guess that would have been the fourth.
The big Sarasota move. Wasn't there about six or eight of you that came all at the same time?
Me, Mark Edge, and my girlfriend at the time, Julia, we all moved up together.
But I think that's when Travis came and
there were
Brian
other people
Manning
from Sarasota. Yeah, Brian Manning and I knew each other from Sarasota. And then Neil Connor also came up from
Neil,
Sarasota.
Right.
So we got a good Sarasota contingent up here in New Hampshire, which is great because the best activists have come up here.
Well, you know, it's funny. Some friends of mine from Arkansas that were involved in the OPAR with us, they moved up shortly after we did. They actually signed years before we signed.
Oh, yeah.
But we were able to move before they moved, which was great.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.